Another government shutdown was averted last night with a bipartisan agreement that includes a lot more spending than deficit hawks wanted. Senator Jeff Flake voted no, adding that the increases were, in his words, beyond comprehension. So why are debt and deficits talked about more? President Trump didn't mention any of that in his recent State of the Union address. With me to talk about that via Skype is Robert Bixby, Executive Director of the Concord Coalition. So, Bob, what's going on with the perception of the debt and deficits? Is it a lower priority nationally than it was in past years?
Oh, I think it's true that the deficit got much more attention in the 90s and early 90s than it is getting now. When the Concord Coalition started, there was, we just come off the 1992 election when the deficit was a big part of that. And Ross Perot made it a big part of his presidential campaign. Oddly enough, the debt and deficit situation is worse now than it was then. And I don't think it's getting as much attention.
Now, what do you think is causing the lack of attention? Is it that people have decided that this is something that we can sweep under the rug or kick the can down the road, or are there not enough voices talking about it? What are some of the reasons?
I think some of the reasons have to do with, for one thing, the deficit shrank considerably during the 90s and then turned into a surplus. And so it appeared that that disease had been cured, that that problem had been solved. And once you got back into a rising deficit again, a lot of it, the big run-up in recent years was because of a great recession, and that's not a time that you worry about the deficit and the debt. So now the problem is that we've come to that time where the baby boomers are retiring and having an effect on the budget, which we always knew they would, because they are collecting Social Security and Medicare, they're paying less in taxes because they're leaving the workforce. That was always going to be a problem for the budget, and here we are. So the choices have arrived. The chickens have come home to roost. We're not talking about some future problem. It's here now. And the political choices are very, very difficult. That's why it's, I think, getting less attention. It's an avoidance device.
And so what are the biggest risks to continuing to avoid it and not actually taking it head on?
Well, the biggest risk is really to our economy and to the, I guess, what, you know, things that we might do for investments. I mean, if the government is borrowing at great sums, it's competing with the private sector for investments that could be helped growing the economy. The federal government doesn't do a lot of investing. It actually should do more. Most of it's consumption payments. So what's happening now is that we're squeezing the economy of the future by running up a big debt and doing less to invest in the economy of the future that's going to have to pay that debt.
Now, you recently wrote a blog entry. I wanted to ask you about it, based on President Trump's State of the Union address. What did you make of his speech? Should it have mentioned the deficit? Were you disappointed it didn't do more of that?
Yes, it's really astounding that the president gave a State of the Union address that didn't mention the debt at all, because it is one of our major challenges. I'm not saying it's the only challenge. I'm not saying that the State of the Union should be all about the debt. But he laid out a number of initiatives that he would like to pursue. Many of them would cost money, a lot of money. And he gave no sense of how he would pay for these initiatives. He gave no sense of the fact that the tax cuts that were just enacted will eventually have to be paid for either by spending cuts or by higher debt. So I think that it was certainly an incomplete view of the state of the nation, because he really didn't give us a state of the nation's finances, which doesn't look that good when you look down the road.
So what happens when the next recession comes along and we're affected by things like this? Is this a time when the economy has been good that you would advise to actually pay attention to the debt and deficit? Because once we get into a recession, it's going to be even harder. What are the problems you foresee when that inevitable recession comes?
Well, first, this is exactly the time when we should be paying attention to the deficit, because you're right, the economy is finally in a relatively strong position. I'm not saying it's, you know, going gangbusters, but I mean, we're doing okay. And this is the time when we should be bringing the deficit down and the debt down from the big buildup during the recession and its aftermath, when the deficit and debt naturally go up. And what you're asking is a very important question, was, okay, if we squander this opportunity when things are good, what's going to happen if we have another recession, which will eventually happen? The sad answer is we'll be in a much weaker position to deal with it. undoubtedly we will react to the recession by increasing spending or cutting taxes, because that's what you do in a recession. But what will happen is that our debt will grow even larger and will become even more difficult to service. The interest costs will go up and be more difficult to recover from that next recession.
You mentioned in the beginning of our conversation about Ross Perot and how he really put a spotlight on the debt and deficit. Does the issue need something like that? Does the issue need a well-regarded senator or a presidential candidate or something to make this a keystone in order for people to pay attention to it in the way that it needs?
Absolutely. There really was very little attention. There were a couple of candidates in 2016 that did that, but frankly, it wasn't a big issue. And I do think that it will take a presidential candidate, and it could, you know, it could happen in Senate candidates as well. But really, to get something like this on the map, I think you've got to have a leader making a compelling case to the American people and be willing to say, look, here are my priorities, and here's how I'm going to pay for them, because the debt is a problem.
Bob Bixby is executive director of the Concord Coalition. Bob, thanks very much for the time.
You're very welcome.